Praise Jesus, amen. Praise God. It's good to see all of you, despite the weather, despite the curfew, despite the lack of internet. You know, I think it was a good week, because God is good. All the time, I don't know how many threw away the phone. Because you're used to YouTube or WhatsApp or Facebook or Instagram, and that thing takes so much of our time. But then God just closed it. Someone was saying this is like COVID time, and someone was saying it is worse than COVID because they were saying COVID time at least we had the internet, but this time everything was closed. But one thing I know is that such moments are good, because they remind us the things that are most important. You ask yourself, what is it that you have missed in this time? Someone will say, no, because I could not communicate with my family. Someone could say, oh, actually, I could live without Facebook. I could live without the internet. It's fine. Maybe for me, I was able to read 1.5 books. Books I was having, you know, just soft copies. And I just said, okay, let me read. And I read. It was almost 150 pages. Then the other one for 300, I'm halfway. I said, no, good. So I thank God for the time that we've had. And one thing that we must know, that the signs that we see, what we see happening, is always something that God is communicating. That anytime you see tough times, challenges, it tells us that God wants something to move. And the reason why the world is in pain, why is there pain? Why is there suffering? Why are there tough times? It's because God needs us to stand up and be the difference. The Bible tells us that the creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means that God wants you and me to make a difference. When the world is in pain, how many sons of God, how many children of God took time to pray? Or were we just looking at the news and saying, oh, things are bad, things are bad? But if someone was praying, if you take a time to pray and say, God heal Bangladesh, and God is able to do it. Think of the time of Abraham, when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham asked God, if there are 50 people in the city, will you destroy it? God said, for the sake of 50, I will not destroy. Then Abraham said, God, just a second. If there were 20 people, will you destroy the city? God said, if for the sake of the 20, I will not destroy the city. Then he said, okay, I have asked too much, but let me ask once again. If there were 10 people, will you destroy the city? And God said, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy the city. I don't know, I'm thinking maybe Abraham was counting his son, his nephew Lot, his wife, 3 daughters, so that makes 5. In case those daughters were married, he had, maybe there would be 10. But you see, he was so scared of even asking for the 3 or for the 1. But you see, if he had asked God, the answer would have been, still, for the sake of that one person, I will not destroy the city. And I assure you, because you are here, because as a Christian, as a child of God, because you're in Cox's, because you're in Bangladesh, Bangladesh will not be destroyed. The city will be preserved. Why? Because the sons of God are there. The children of God are there. Because you are in the city, the city has peace. Amen? The city has life. And this nation will belong to Jesus. Amen? Bangladesh belongs to Jesus. It will be for Jesus. The 91 million people, I don't know, 191, I'm not sure. Almost 200, almost 200 million, they belong to Jesus. Amen? We might not see it now, but the next generation, because it is a seed. It is a seed. The word of God is a seed. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want us to go to our message, and it's going to be a continuation of the message that we had last Friday.
Amen.
Okay, so we'll go ahead. Okay, so last time we looked at the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And if we can open our Bibles, we go to the book of John, chapter 3. And we were looking at the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Amen. And this is the encounter that Jesus had with Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He was among those scholars of their time, because Pharisees were people who were trained in the law. They understood the law. But this Pharisee decided to come to Jesus at night. Why did he come at night? Because he was fearing. He was respecting himself. You can imagine, in our time, let's say there are all these pastors, and then God raises a young guy or a young man, and this person starts preaching and speaking and even performing miracles. Now the elders will say, but this, what he's doing is something. But we cannot go to him in public, okay? So they did not go in public. The person, he went at night. And the Bible says he went to Jesus. And we can read. The Bible says from verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The Bible says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Think of how Jesus was great, that he will teach and also perform miracles. You see, the thing about the Jews is that they were people who were of science. For a Jew, because if you look at their history, they think of Moses. Moses had 10 signs. Right? He took them through the plagues. He parted the Red Sea. He would throw down his stick. The stick will turn to a snake. So for a Jew to believe you, you must perform a miracle. That is why each time they will tell Jesus, show us a sign. If you are really the Christ, show us a sign. But you see, they were seeing the miracles. Why? Because Jesus was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was cleansing the lepers. He was casting out devils. And he was performing signs. And that is why he came to him at night and said, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher that has come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. I tell you today, there is no one who has the power to make a crippled man to walk except God. Except in the name of Jesus, there is no one who has the ability to heal. I can assure you, cancer today, they will tell you there's no cure. But Jesus is the only God, is the only one who has the power to heal someone from cancer. And there are many people who have been healed from cancer. Even HIV has been healed. People who are born, even stammerers, they are healed by the name of Jesus. Because God chooses the things that are not. He chooses the weak things. He chooses things that people have rejected to make them into something. Why? Because God does not respect our position. God knows you as you are. It doesn't matter how weak you think you are, but God is able to make you something. So that is why they recognize that no one can do these miracles except God be with him. So if you're looking for a change, you will only find a change in God. Amen. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And verse 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound where it goes, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Now, we are looking at being born again. What does it mean to be born again? Because Jesus, the words of Jesus himself, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and secondly, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And this is the same question that Nicodemus asked. What do you mean to be born again? I am already a big man now. How can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? It's impossible. But you see, Jesus explained what does it mean to be born again. He said, except one is born of the water and born of the Spirit. Okay? So, when we are born naturally. Okay? We are born of the flesh. We are born of the natural. We have what we call our natural birth. But you see, we need to be born again. And that word born again, the other version that is used, if you have a Bible, if you click on that, it will say born from above. That means that being born again can also mean except a man be born from above. That means that you are born from God, you are born from heaven. That means you have received something that is not of natural ability. It's not from your parents. It's not from something that you are born with it. You see, when you are born natural, you are born of a father and a mother. But to be born again, it means to be born from above. That means that you are born of God. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter. Everyone says, I am a Christian. Some people are Christians because their parents are Christians. Some people are Christians because, well, where they stay, everyone is a Christian. So we come from Kulna, so all of us are Christians. Automatically, it's the religion I was born to. So if I was born, but some people were born maybe in another religion, but they met Jesus. They met the message of salvation, and that one was able to transform them for them to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, everyone that is born natural is born into sin. Why do I mean that? The Bible says that Adam, because all of us come from Adam, because Adam sinned, all humanity sinned, okay? Because Adam, the sin of Adam, all human beings have fallen into sin. And God told Adam this, the day that you eat from the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. And what happens is that Adam died spiritually. Physically, he lived for 913 years or something like that. But spiritually, he died the day he ate from the fruit. Why? Because sin leads to death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Someone will say, what is sin? Very simple. Go to the Ten Commandments.
What do the Ten Commandments say? If you do not steal, how many of us have never stolen? Anyone here who has never stolen something? And I know Sugar is one of them. Who here has never lied? Do not tell a lie. Even when we sing song, Johnny, Johnny, yes, Papa, eating sugar,
no, Papa,
telling lies,
no, Papa,
open your mouth. That's my favorite song with my daughter. But what is the song teaching them? The song is teaching them to lie. Because when you see the cartoon, the child, Johnny Johnny, has taken sugar. And the sugar is in the mouth. But the father is asking, Johnny Johnny,
yes, Papa,
eating sugar? No, but the sugar is here. So, if we are to be judged based on the law of God, every one of us falls short of the glory of God. We all are sinners, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The penalty. If God is to judge us today, should you go to heaven or not? If you die today, God asks you, are you going to, you will be told two places. There is heaven and there is hell. Then God will ask you, what did you do on earth? Then you say, oh, I was going to church. Oh, I was giving my offering. Oh, I was giving to the poor. I was giving my tithe. Then you will ask you a question. Did you believe in Jesus? Because salvation is not about what you are doing. Because some people will say, oh, I did all these things. I preached. I healed the sick. I raised the dead. I did all these things in your name. What did Jesus say? I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. That tells us that the standards of God are different from the standards of human beings. Every religion in the world, they say it is my effort that makes me to be a child of God. They say because I have done all this, I have given water to the poor, I have paid all this, I will go to heaven. In fact, some of them say that, I don't know, my good deeds and my bad deeds will be weighed. If the good is more than the bad, how do you know if your good is more than the bad? If you kill one person and then you feed 5,000 people, which is better? What scale can you use to judge which is heavier and which is? You understand? It does not make sense to say that because you have fed 5,000 people and you killed one person, one is more than the other. You see how it does not make sense? Now, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God says, for you to become a child of God, for you to enter the kingdom of God, for you to see and enter, I am telling you, I have sent my Son, Jesus Christ, and he has died for your sins. The judgment that you are supposed to be suffer for sin, for the lies that we have done all our lives, for the sins that we have done, for the anger that we have done to people, for every wrong thing that we have done, it was placed on Jesus on the cross. And Jesus said that it is finished. He took our place. Salvation is believing that Jesus Christ died in your place. He died for you and me. Now, because he died, and we believe that he died and he resurrected, so likewise, when we come and we put our faith in Jesus, what happens is that we also die with him. We die with Jesus. But then when he is resurrected, because we have put our faith in Jesus, we also resurrect with him. And what happens is that we become born again. Because we have died to our sin. We have died to our natural life. But now we have received the resurrected life of Jesus. There is the resurrected. When Jesus raised from the dead, because it is a historical fact that Jesus resurrected. If you go to Israel today, you will find the grave, the real grave of Jesus, and the stone rolled away, and they will tell you this is where Jesus came out from the grave. And the Bible tells us that he spoke to 500 people after he resurrected. He met them face to face. He ate with them. He ate fish. He even cooked. He cooked bread and fish and ate with the disciples. And Thomas said, I will not believe he's a ghost. He said, unless I touch his hands. And the Bible says, Jesus appeared to Thomas and said, touch my hands and feel if they're the marks. He says, a ghost does not have flesh and blood. So Jesus resurrected. He is alive. And what happens is that Jesus said, when I go, I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you another helper. Now, the Holy Spirit comes to confirm to our spirits that we are children of God. The Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do you know that you are a child of God? It's because of the Holy Spirit inside you. Anytime you do something wrong, it's the Holy Spirit that tells you, my child, you have made a mistake. Ask God for forgiveness. And you say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And what anytime anyone confesses, what happens? God, you feel peace. Why? Because the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. What God tells us to do, put our faith in Jesus, that the price he has paid is what makes us holy. The reason why you and I are holy before God, the reason why you are a saint, you are holy before God, is not because of your effort, and it will never be because of your righteousness. It is only because you come and hide under Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe what you did is enough. And forgive my sins and teach me how to live in righteousness. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit comes to direct us into all truth. Everything that you should know about God, the Holy Spirit will teach you. The reason why someone will read the Bible and not understand it is because they don't have the Holy Spirit. There are many PhD scholars who have read the Bible. They can quote for you all the verses, but they don't understand it. To them, it is information. But for you to understand the Word of God, it takes the Spirit of God. Only someone that is born again, only someone that is born of the Spirit of God is able to see God and is able to enter into the kingdom of God. And this seeing is not the seeing with your eyes. It's the place. There is a place in every man that we understand God. You see, when you find someone who says there is no God, they are rejecting the truth in them. But anyone who believes in God, God has given them birth. And they are born again. They are born above. And we asked ourselves two questions. Verse 5, it says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And we asked ourselves, what does it mean to be born of water? Some people will say it is to be baptized. Some people will say it is to be born of the parent. And some people will also say it is to be born of the Word of God. I want to tell you that The water here refers to the word of God. Because anyone who comes to salvation must be preached to the word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. Wash them. Sanctification is washing. Anytime you read the Bible, what does the Bible do? It washes us. Anytime you're hearing the word of God, you're hearing the preaching of God, what the word of God does is that it cleanses you. It shows you, it is a mirror. It shows you that this is wrong. It shows you that what you have done is not right. The word of God corrects us. The word, anytime we read the word of God cleanses us. We are washed with the word of God. That is how Jesus teaches us. You wake up in the morning and God gives you a word, tells you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And then you go and face a challenge and you remember that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word of God, born of water, means to be born of the word of God. It is the gospel message. What I have said here, putting your faith in Jesus, is what brings you to salvation. When you receive that word, you are born of water. Now, baptism, when you go under the water, it is an outward sign of something that has taken place on the inside. Okay? So baptism is only an outward sign for everyone to know that something spiritual has happened inside of you. Now, if you go and get baptized and you don't believe in Jesus, you enter into the water, a dry sinner, and you come out a wet sinner. You basically went to the water dry and you came out wet. Why? Because you think it is the baptism that saves you. So there are many people, they say, no, because I'm baptized, I'm going to heaven. But when you follow their lives, they're not believing in Jesus. They don't come to church. They come to church once in 2 months. In their houses, they don't pray. They don't wake up. The last time they read their Bible was 2 months ago. The Bible is there, and on Friday, you just have to remove dust. You beat it so that you can open it, so that you go to church, and then you look for the biggest Bible. So, baptism, you can go to the water, a dry sinner, and you come up a wet sinner. But the truth, when you're done baptism, when you have been born again, what happens is that you are telling the world that I have died to my old life, and now I am starting a new life, and this new life is the life of God. I am born again. So you have died under the water. So it is a symbol. It does not make you saved. There are many people who are baptized, but they are not saved. They are not born again, because to them, maybe they were baptized as a child. True? So they say, I'm baptized. I've been taught the catechism. I'm baptized. But the Bible, Jesus told, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he said, except you are born of water, which is the word of God, and you are born of the Spirit of God. Now I want us to touch on the being born of the Spirit of God. I say that when Adam sinned, what happened is that he died spiritually. Okay? So physically he's alive, but spiritually he is dead. So anyone who does not know God, physically they are alive, but spiritually they are. That's why God tells us, how can light walk with the darkness? What union is there between light and darkness? How can unbeliever marry believer? So a Christian cannot say they are in a relationship with a non-Christian. They cannot say, I'm going to marry. No, I will pray for them, they will get saved. No. Because one is dead, the other is alive. One, the father is God, the other, the father is the devil.
Now, in Africa, when you marry, your father-in-law can visit you. True or false?
Your father-in-law can visit you anytime without announcement, right? So now, if you marry someone and they don't believe in God, their father-in-law is the devil. That means you're saying the devil can visit me anytime. So, light and darkness cannot meet.
So, anyone who is not in Christ is spiritually dead.
Hard truth, but it's the truth. But when you come to God, God, through His Spirit, He makes you alive. Now, the human being has three main parts. He has his body, he has his soul, and he has his spirit. Now, the soul, people can use the word mind, people can use the word heart. So when the Bible tells us of, when you see, love the Lord your God with all your heart, it speaks also of your soul. When it speaks, love the Lord your God with all your mind, it's the seat of your emotion, is the seat of your intellect, is the seat of your thinking capacity. So, every human being has the body, he has the soul, which is where you think, your inner man, and then he has the spirit. Now, the spirit, or rather the soul, is your control. The soul is the engine. Now, if your spirit is dead, that means you live from your soul. And your soul controls your body. Your body only does what your soul tells it and influence of the spirit. Now, anyone that is spiritually dead, they have no life from their spirit. They only live from their brain. They only live from their thinking. They will tell you, no, today I want to eat chips. I want to eat pizza. I will go and eat. They go and eat. The body says, okay, what do you want, soul? Let us go and eat. They go and eat. Then sometimes the body also controls, I'm hungry. Then he tells the soul, I need to eat. Then the soul says, okay, let us look for money. Then they go and look for money. And they go and... But you see, their spirit is dead because of sin. Now, when you're born of the Spirit, what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes and comes to your spirit that is dead and gives it life. Regenerates your spirit. And your spirit receives life. And this life comes from the life of God. I want you to think of that. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. He now comes and He lives in your spirit. And the Bible says the two become united. That's why the Bible says anyone that is in Christ is united with Christ. Your spirit that was dead becomes joined to the Holy Spirit and it becomes alive and you become born of the Spirit. Now, this person that is born again is a Christian. Not only has the body, which is the flesh, he also has the soul, which is the mind, and he also has a spirit, which is alive, that has the Spirit of God. So a born-again person is different from someone in the world. Why? Because the person in the world only lives from his soul, only lives from his mind, and only lives from his brain capacity. But you see, the person that lives from his spirit is superior to the person that lives from his mind. Why? Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All things have passed away. All things are new. When you are dead, when you are spiritually dead, you are living from your mind, you are under the control of the devil. The devil will, you cannot overcome sin. You are under generational curses. Things that are affecting your family are affecting you. Sickness defeats you. When you try to overcome sin, you cannot overcome sin. When you try to live righteous, you are trying to live from your brain.
You say, trying to live from your discipline. You say, okay, I will read the Bible one chapter every day. But when you read the Bible, you start sleeping. True or false? Why? Because you are living from your soul. You are living from your human effort. But your human effort cannot take you to God. Only the man that is born from the Spirit of God, that receives the help and the life of the Spirit of God, that is alive and has the ability to please God, to worship God, to see God, to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means that anyone worshiping from their mind is not pleasing God. They cannot please God. It is just singing. Have you ever gone somewhere where someone is singing? Yes, they have a good voice, but you don't feel blessed. You don't feel anything. Why? Because they are singing from their natural talents, from their brain, from their training. But when you go and you meet someone who is alive in the spirit, when they sing, even if without a good voice, you feel in your heart that this person is speaking to my spirit. Why? Because there is spirit-to-spirit communication. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And how can we worship him in spirit? Only when we come to Christ. Only when we put our faith in Christ, when we believe him, then he gives us life by his spirit. When Jesus said that, I have come to give you life, and life in abundance, that life that he's giving you is called Zoe. In Greek is Zoe. It means the life of God. God gives you the life of himself. That is why the Bible says that he that is born of God can overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because you have received the whole creator of the whole earth. He's living inside of you when you give your life to Jesus. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And the Bible says, he says, never will I leave you or forsake you. Never will I leave you or forsake you. There's no time that the Holy Spirit leaves us. The moment you have received Jesus, and you have believed in him, and he has made you alive, there is no day that he can make you dead again. Can God be making you alive today and killing you tomorrow? So every time you are saying, okay, I have sinned, so I have been made dead. Tomorrow I'm being made alive. Yesterday I'm being made dead. Tomorrow I'm being alive. No. God says, never will I leave you or forsake you. But you see what happens is that as a father and a child, what happens, the Bible says, we break the fellowship. When you are living in sin, as a Christian, you are not living in sin because sin has power over you. Some people will say, no, I've tried to live watching these movies, I have been unable. I have tried to do this on my own power, I've been unable. I have tried to leave this boyfriend, I've been unable. I've tried. Why? Because you think that sin controls you. But when you have the life of God inside you, that life defeats the devil. It is you that chooses to walk in sin. The Christian that is made alive in the spirit is not under the control of the devil. The devil cannot control you to make sin. He can bring the temptation. He can bring the temptation to you, but you choose. You choose to sin. Anyone who is made alive in God makes a choice either to be in bondage or to be in sin. So, when you are made alive with the life of God, the Bible has tells you all things are made new. All things are past. You are a new creation. Remember, this is a new thing that God has made. You are not like the world. You are not a natural man.
You are a spiritual man. A spiritual man talks to God. That's why God can talk to you face to face. Why? He's not far. He's not in heaven. He is inside of you. That's why when you wake up and you don't know what to do, just say, God, what should I do? And you know what God does do? He will direct you. That's why you can wake up with a song in the morning. You just woke up and you started singing. What made you sing that song? Zoe, the life of God inside you. As you're working, as you're on your computer, you just start, you're Alpha. You start to hear a song inside you. It's telling you that you're spiritually alive. You wake up in the morning and you hear a verse inside you. All things work together for the good of them who love you and call according to his purpose. God is working inside of you. He is regenerating you. He has made you alive. You are not a natural man. You are a spiritual man. Now, many people live from their souls. They live from their mind. They say, no, I am intelligent. I am rich. I don't need God. But when they come to God, God sees them as dead. Because anyone who has not accepted Jesus, on the day of judgment, is hell. It's not how good they were. It's not what they did. It's not everything they did. It's dead. But anyone who has come to life, has received the word of God, has been born of the water, and has received the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he has given us the Spirit as a seal, guaranteeing our inheritance. That means that the Spirit of God, as long as you can sense the Holy Spirit, as long as you can hear his voice, as long as he is correcting you when you have made a mistake, he's telling you, my child, you're still alive. Now, confess your sins and restore the fellowship. Obey me. Let me guide you. Let me take you. Let me show you the right way. Let me teach you the Bible. Let me help you explain what Christianity is. Let me show you how to live with your family. Let me show you how to take care of your children. Let me show you how to even work in your office. The Spirit of God makes you wiser. The Bible says that Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says that the Spirit of God made them 10 times better. 10 times better than all the magicians, than all the enchanters, than all the wise men of Babylon. That means the professors, the scholars, the most intelligent people, even those who used witchcraft and magic, the Bible says the Spirit of God in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made them 10 times better. The spiritual man is 10 times, even 100 times better than any natural man. They might have more money than you, but they are dead. They might have all the houses, but they have no peace of God. They might have all the jobs, all the contracts they have, but at night, they are being attacked by devils. They're not sleeping. Why? Because they don't have the life of God. I tell you, if you have the life of God, you cannot fail. The word of God makes your life. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, when you come to your body and you find that your body is having diabetes, pressure, then you come and tell the life of God, God, this life of God in me cannot be sick. Sickness is illegal. Why? Because you have received the life in you. The life that made lame people walk, that made blind eyes to see, that raised the dead. And what is dengue to the life of God? That is why when COVID was there, I was laughing. Why? Because I know the life of God in me is greater than COVID-19. What virus? The Bible says we have been given a name that is above every other name in heaven and on earth. That means
Even if they have not given it a name, the moment they have given it a name, the name of Jesus is higher than it. So even if they discover a new virus, they call it Corona 2000 or Corona Power 20%. The moment they give it a name, there's a name that is higher.
Hallelujah.
The moment cancer is given a name, they call it, oh, metastatic, blood normal, something. Then you say, oh, you have a name. There's a name that is higher. That name is the name of Jesus.
So the spiritual man does not live from his mind. The spiritual man lives from the leading of the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible tells us, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if you want to be a son of God, you must every day ask God, show me, what should I do? What wrong things am I doing? What is making you angry? And God will start telling you, the way you speak to your husband is not good. The way you speak to your wife is not good. The way you behave with your boss is not good. The way you just sleep every day, you sleep until 11 a.m., you don't pray, it's not good. So you say, okay, tomorrow, help me to wake up. And you know, if you just say, God, help me to wake up in the morning, it will wake you up. He will. He's just asking you to ask him. It is you that has not asked God. Jesus said that James, the book of James tells us, you have because you do not ask God. You do not have because you do not ask God. Ask God. And Jesus said, ask and your joy will be complete. But anyone who is spiritually dead, even if they ask, God does not hear. But the moment you come to Jesus and you speak to your Father, he's not far, he's inside you. He hears you. And he answers. Maybe you've been looking for a job for long. God is able to do. What is a job to... What is a job to a dead man? If you are dead, let's say you are made minister today and you die tomorrow, does it help you? It doesn't help. But the life of God is greater than any human thing. That is why you must always value the presence of God inside you. That is someone who is born of the Spirit. So when you are a new creation, you have power. The devil has no power over you. Demons have no power over you. Sin cannot control you. You cannot be in bondage to sin unless you have been set free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth sets you free. Then you bring yourself to bondage. You say, no, maybe generational curses are still there. They will come. Why? Because you have left your place of authority and you have believed that you are not longer a new creation. You are now a natural man. The natural man will be subject to all the trials of the natural man. But them that believe in the spirit man that is made alive through the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, this person overcomes the world. I want us to stand as we come to a close of our message. Take a moment to let's close our eyes. Just take a moment and speak to God. Speak to your Father and listen from him. Each of us knows where we have gone wrong. Maybe we gave our lives to Jesus many years ago, but we are not living according to the life that God wants us. Take a moment and ask God to forgive you. Ask God to restore that fellowship. Ask God to make you alive. Ask God to give you his Spirit, that you should sense his Spirit. Ask God to open our eyes. Secondly, if you're here and you know for sure you've never given your life to Jesus, you're not a Christian. Yes, you like Christian things, but you have never been born again. You're living from your mind. You only understand God from your mind, but not from your spirit. I want you to receive Jesus today. I want you to be made spiritually alive today. If you're there and you want to give your life to Jesus, just indicate by raising your hand. We're going to pray with you. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Just indicate. If you're there and you want to give your life to Jesus, and you know for sure you have just lived from your mind, it's just because of your parents. It's just because you grew up in the church. Anyone else who wants to give their life to Jesus, I will not call you forward. We will pray from where you are. Just show me by raising your hand. Anyone else? I want to thank you. Thank you. Let us. I want all of us to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
All of us say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
That you died for me.
That you died for me.
Today.
Today.
I come before you.
I come before you.
Make me your child.
Make me your child.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Make me alive.
Make me alive.
That today I am born again.
That today I am born again.
I am born of the water.
I am born of the water.
And of the Spirit of God.
And of the Spirit of God.
And from today.
And from today.
Make me sensitive.
Make me sensitive.
To hear your voice.
To hear your voice.
To hear your direction.
To hear your direction.
And to be led by you.
And to be led by you.
Because those who are led by the Spirit of God,
because those who are led by the Spirit of God,
are the sons of God.
Are the sons of God.
Help me to live in holiness.
Help me to live in holiness.
Help me to overcome sin.
Help me to overcome sin.
Help me to overcome every work of the devil.
Help me to overcome every work of the devil.
I pray this
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, your children have put their faith in you. Everyone that has said this prayer today, that has believed it, that they are filled with the Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill them now. Even more. Even more. Move, Spirit of God. Move in their hearts. Let them feel that peace that surpasses human understanding. That anointing, that wisdom that comes from God. That power that it brings healing to their bodies. Father, I rebuke every sickness in this place. Anyone who is unwell, whether diabetes, whether cancer, we cancel it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we declare that them that need favor, they have received the favor of God.
Yes.
Them that have been trusting you for jobs are receiving their jobs. Yes. Them that are believing you for children are going to receive their babies. Them that are believing you for marriage are receiving their marriage. Yes. Because Father, nothing is impossible with you. With God, all things are possible. And I thank you for the life of God. In us. God in us. Emmanuel, God with us. An ever present help in times of trouble. And I pray for your people that as we leave, as we go, go ahead of us. Watch over us. Strengthen us. Heal this nation, oh God. For the sake of us, oh God, Bangladesh shall stand. And this land shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. I pray that you continue to teach us in our homes. Teach us in the night. Teach us with the dreams. Teach us when we read the Bible. Speak to us even in our beds. Even in while we are eating. Speak to us on the table. Speak to us while we are walking. Speak to us, Lord. Because you have made us alive in you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We shall do one song and then we shall...
call Ralph to close for us the final prayer. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.